Welcome to our service here at Glorious Church Training Center. We are getting ready to go live and be with Pastor David as he brings the message here this morning. Get your Bibles and paper and pens out and be ready to take notes at this broadcast. God bless.
Man, let's welcome him online this morning. God bless you. I pray you're staying warm and cozy since I know you couldn't be here this morning for you that are part of this church and weren't able to make it this morning. We want you to know we love you. We're praying for you. And we're praying for all of you that God will move mightily in your behalf. I'm in a series right now, probably will be all year long, on a teaching on the Holy Spirit. I believe that when you read this book, you begin to find out who God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit really is. I mean, no, this is God's autobiography. Everything you need to know about God is right here. Amen? And anytime you deal with understanding of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, this is your reference book. Amen? And one of the things that we've learned about this reference book is that when you open it up, it's really God's breath breathing on you. So let me know, you can't live without breath. I mean, if you don't believe me, try to cut it off for the next 5 minutes. I mean, no, it wouldn't be good. Amen? Because the breath that you have came from God. I don't care if a person's saved or unsaved, their breath still came from God. There is no life separate from God. Amen. You may deny God. You may not believe that there is a God. But let me tell you what. Cut off your breath and you're going to find out what's real. Because you will be standing before God. Amen. Because the Bible says every person will stand before the judgment seat of God. Amen. And so we need to realize how important this is. I believe what God wants to do is he wants to take us to higher places. He doesn't want to keep us in this natural carnal realm. He wants to take us into a supernatural realm that is more real than the natural. Amen? But many Christians don't know how to get there. Many Christians know the Father. They know what Jesus Christ did upon the cross, but that's where they stop. They stop at the cross. Jesus died for me. I've got my ticket. I've got my fire insurance. I'm going to be fine. No, saints. Jesus didn't stop at the cross. Jesus said in John chapter 14, it's imperative that I go away from you because I'm going to send you a helper, someone that is like me that's going to help you through this time that you're going to go through when I'm not here. It didn't stop at the cross. It actually began at the cross. When you got saved for a purpose. And that purpose is to carry on the kingdom of God to help others come to the cross and get beyond it. But you cannot do that separate from the presence of God. Amen? And so I've been really meditating upon how to really bring this to you. And as I was meditating the last 48 hours or so, God told me to preach a sermon called The Holy Spirit God Taught. I'll say that again. The Holy Spirit, God taught. It's not a man teaching. It's not a carnal teaching. It's not a fleshly inspiration. It's not just a good idea. It's a God idea. And this God idea wants to empower you for a God experience. Amen? I want to have a God experience every day. And you know what's awesome? Is when I was introduced to the Holy Spirit and he came into my life, I get to experience God daily because of his presence. I mean, every day there are things that happen to me that I go, oh, that was God. Every day there's moments where I think a thought, make a call, driving down the road, something inspired, something comes where God says, I'm in this. Reconfirming every day that I'm with the Lord. You know, when I first got saved and experienced the Holy Spirit, I was driving down the road and there was these, and I've probably told you this story before. I was just praising God and I was just excited about God and I was excited about knowing Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And I'm driving down the road and I'm just excited about all of it, just on fire for God because of what he did in my heart. And I've been studying chicken hawks for years. And what was interesting about this particular day was, as I'm driving along and I'm just praising God, I never see two chicken hawks sit side by side because they're predatory birds. If you ever see them sitting on the fence, they're alone until you go down about a mile or two and you see another one. because they're predatory. They take care of their surrounding. But every once in a while, you know, mating season comes and they'll connect together. But very seldom will you ever see two together, because during mating season, they're not sitting on the side of the road. So I'm driving down the road, and I'm just really praising God. And I look up in this tree and I see two chicken hawks sitting side by side, looking down at the vehicle as I'm going to Carthage. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, "I'm with you now." Man, I was excited. It's like I got to hear from God. Well, I went to work, praised all that day, came home that night, total different route, looked up on the high wire, and guess what's sitting there? Two chicken hawks, and God confirmed again, "I'm with you now, don't worry about it." I was so excited because I got a confirmation in my spirit. This was a God idea. This was the leadership of God. He took what I understood and brought His understanding into it. Isn't that awesome? And that's what God loves to do with the Holy Spirit. He loves to take you as an individual and create something inside of you that confirms with you that He's in the house. And that's called the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the Holy Spirit wants to be a part of your life. That's why He's created this Bible from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because in Genesis, all the way through Revelation, is nothing but God. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, and the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the deep. And then God said, how many know when God said, that's His Word. That's Jesus. When the Word is spoken, that's Jesus. We find Old Testament, nothing but the Father being taught. Holy Spirit's all through it. Jesus all being through it as a prophetic to what's yet to come. We see that in the Gospels, that when Jesus took on the ministry to carry on the power of God, how many know He had to bow Himself before God? He had to receive the Holy Spirit so that He could be led by the Spirit to do the call that was upon His life. We find that Jesus told Him, so look, I'm going to go, but don't you do nothing till you go up into Jerusalem and you get in a seated position expecting Me to move, and then I'm going to send the Holy Spirit upon you, and when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then go and be My witnesses. Come on, saints. The Holy Spirit is all through it. You know, in Revelation chapter 22, the last thing he says, the Spirit and the bride. Who's the bride? The church says, come. How many know? We need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And you'll find that the Holy Spirit always speaks of the things of the Father and the things of the Son, because He speaks nothing of Himself. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's not going to put emphasis on Him. He's going to put emphasis on the Father and on the Son for everything they did for you and me. That's why you need all 66 books of the Bible. Why? Because it's the Father, it's the Son, and it's the Holy Ghost. Amen? Did He not tell us to go and baptize people in the name of the... Okay, so wait a minute. Baptize in the name of the Father. Get submerged in the Father. Get an understanding of who Daddy is. And then He says, baptize them in the name of what? The Son. Get an understanding of what He did upon the cross. Get an understanding of what that blueprint looks like. Because realize this, God the Father is the designer of all of it. God the Son is the architect, the one that drew the prints, that set them in motion. He was the example to how we are to walk. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is the power of God that implements it. So God the Father designed it. God the Son, when the Word was spoken, gave us the picture of it, and the Holy Spirit perfected it. Amen. And so now we're living in a dispensation of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit leadership, where we need to hear His voice and hear His unction, because there are so many Christians living in religion and not in relationship. And God wants to break that off us. He wants us to hear what the Spirit has to say. Amen. You know, man could not live. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7 that man was created out of the dust of the ground, and he wasn't alive. He was dust. He was a dirt bag. There was no life in him until God breathed the breath of life in him, called pneuma. Say pneuma. That's the breath of God. And do you know, where was Adam in this? Or where was Jesus in this? We've got man, and we've got God blowing breath. But where's Jesus in this? If the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's in everything, where's Jesus in this? He came later. Why? Because when Adam sinned, he said, there's going to be one that's going to come after me. Come on, one's going to bruise his heel, but the other one's going to crush his head. And if you look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want you to see this. I don't know if I've got that on. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, it said, "And so it is written that the first man, Adam, became a what? When? When the pneuma was blown into him. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." Who is the last Adam? Jesus. Jesus was the second Adam that gave us the breath of the Holy Ghost. Amen? So that we could walk with God. Just as Adam did in the cool of the day. You know, we can get up in the morning and fellowship with God. We can get up in the morning and walk with God. We can get up in the morning and experience God. I tell you what, when I get up in the mornings, I cannot go a morning without having fellowship with my God, my daddy, my lover of my soul. I love it. It's a passion to me. I don't know how people can go all day long with no relationship with God until they finally decide to stop and say, "Oh, hi." My life is so consumed in Him and His in me that I have no life outside of Him. I love living in Him. I love moving in Him. I love following Him, because I tell you, I fail too many times. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Amen. Amen? It's a God breathed. God breathed into Adam. Can I say it this way? God taught Adam how to breathe. Adam did not know how to breathe on his own. Adam had no life in him. Adam was just dirt, even though he was formed and had everything that he could operate in, but he had no breath. He had nothing that could teach him how to really have life. So God taught Adam how to breathe. Do you know, saints, if we're going to really live in a relationship with God, we needed to be taught on how to breathe, how to follow the leadership of His breath, so that we can accomplish what He has plans for. Amen? You know, God, teach me how to breathe. That should be your prayer every morning. Teach me how to breathe. Teach me how to move, live, and have my being in your breath. Teach me how to be conscious of what that breath really means. Teach me how to realize that that's real life. You know, just taking in natural air is not life. It's when you take in the breath of God that teaches you life, that causes you to really accelerate in the things of God. Amen? You know, David said in Psalms 150, verse number 6, he said, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Oh, listen to this. "Let everything that has been taught by God praise the Lord." See, there is no life outside of His teaching. There is no understanding outside of His wisdom, His revelation, and His knowledge. Oh yeah, we can be brilliant. We can have lots of ideas, but are they God ideas? Are you seeing this? "Let everything that has breath," what? Praise the Lord. You know that word "praise the Lord" is the word hallelujah. Halla means praise. And when you put that J-A-H on the end, it means the Lord. So think about it. When Abram walked with God, Sarai walked with God, they really had no life, even though they were being obedient, even though Abram left the land that he was with his father, and God said, "Abram, I want you to leave because I want to make you the father of many." So he was obedient in listening to what God had to say, even though he really didn't know God, because his father didn't serve God. Matter of fact, his father served false worship, false religions, false gods. And God said, "Abram, I need you to leave all of that." Isn't that what he did with you? When he showed himself to you, he said, "I want you to leave all that carnal stuff. I want you to leave all that idol stuff. I want you to leave all that stuff that keeps you polluted from really understanding me." And so Abram began to walk with God. And because of his faithfulness of walking with God, God came to him one day and said, "Abram, I'm going to change this all thing up. I'm going to call you Abraham. I'm going to breathe that Yahweh, that pneuma of life upon you, and no longer will you be Abram, but you'll be Abraham. You'll be taught by me, by my breath, by my leadership. Matter of fact, I'm not only going to do that with you, but I'm going to take Sarai and I'm going to make her Sarah. I'm going to breathe that pneuma, that life that teaches you on how to really live for me. That's what God's calling us into, a life with Him. Not a life with just yourself or with other people. Even though we're supposed to have a relationship with other people, we're supposed to be breathing God life into them too. We weren't called just to go to the cross. We were called to take the life of the breath and breathe into other people the life of God. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the pneuma. That's the breath of God. That's that. And I love what David said. He said, praise the Lord. But he didn't say it once. He said it twice. Praise the Lord. He said, make sure you get a hold of this. Make sure you realize what you're doing this for. Because if you don't realize what you're doing this for, it may be just your life and not mine. And your life can be most miserable. But even in the misery, when you've got the breath of God, you're still glorifying God. Even when things aren't right, you're still praising God. Even when things gone south, you're still lifting Him up. Amen. Why is that? Because you know where your breath comes from. You know who your teacher is. You know the one that's leading you and guiding you and speaking truth into your heart and your life. I mean, who would want to divert from that? Man, my sails are up every day blowing my sails, Lord. I want to go where you want me. I'm going to hear it would say the same thing. Because this should be what's birthed inside of us. Amen? Amen? See, we cannot have a real life unless we have the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives, working. Amen? Do you know that this whole Bible is about the breath and being taught by God? When you read this, it's not your interpretation. This is God speaking into the lives of His children so that they might have abundant life. Amen? Every bit of this is all about God teaching us. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-teaching. Are you seeing this? It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I mean, no, God covers it all. He knows it all. I mean, where else do you want to go? Somebody that halfway knows? Or do you want to go to someone that knows? I want to go to someone that knows. I want to go to somebody that absolutely has my heart and life in mind. Look at 2 Peter 1. He says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we were made known to you the power of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitness of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came from Him from an excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven, which we when we were with Him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day of the dawn of the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy or scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but by holy men of God spoke as they were moved on by the breath of God. Every bit of this is God breathed. This did not come from fables. This did not come from stories. This did not come from man's understanding or man's wisdom or man's concept. This came out of the heart of God. It was God breathed. I'll say that again. It was God breathed. It was God taught. And the only way you can understand God's breath and His teachings is to realize you have a teacher called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was given to us to not only show the Father and who His character is and the design that He has, but to show the Son And everything that he did, you will do even greater. I mean, no, you're not going to do it separate from the Holy Spirit. And then, if that's not enough, that he would come and he would educate you, he would teach you, he would instruct you, and he would even show you things to come. He would take the things of the Father and the Son and declare them to you. Whew! That's the kind of person I want to hang with. I want to hang with a person that knows what's best for me. Now, I think in Christian lifestyles or Christian circles, we need to quit hanging with that that's taking us down and start hanging with that that's raising us up. Because if you're hanging with stuff that's taking you down, you're never going to go up. Amen? Because until you start getting to a level to where you can handle it, you're not going to help anybody else up. Especially if everything around you is pulling you down too. Amen? The Holy Spirit's trying to help us up. He's trying to help us get the right view. You know, I said this a couple weeks ago in Acts chapter 1 in verses 4 through 8. I mean, it's so powerful when you read it. And remember, the Bible says Jesus came after, you know, remember he came and he spent 40 days with them and told them you need to go up to Jerusalem. And on the 50th day, Pentecost would come and the Holy Spirit would come upon you. So even Jesus said, you can't do anything without the teaching or the breath of God. But look what happens. He says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For truly John baptizes with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So here Jesus is giving them the full instruction. He said, look, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit because you're going to need him in this last hour. You're going to need that breath. You're going to need that teaching. You're going to need that leadership. Right? But look what they said. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Wait a minute. He just told them, says, look, you want to understand what's going on? You want to understand the leadership of God? You want to have the teachings that take you beyond the natural realm? Why are you so caught up about when I'm going to establish the kingdom and when am I going to come and put yourself on these natural things when I got something supernatural for you? Why do you do this? You know, isn't it amazing how the curiosity of the carnal man wants to see the kingdom of God but wants to see it from a natural perspective? When you can see the kingdom of God now, for the Bible says the kingdom of God is now. It's right here, right now. Why are you looking for all this other stuff when I'm getting ready to give you something that's going to shine and show it all off? Wow, isn't that good? And he says in verse 7, and he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the season which your Father has put into his own authority. But you shall, and he gets them right back on track. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and to all the Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. He said, this is how you're going to be a witness, not because you're saying Jesus is coming, the end is coming, you know, everybody better get ready, turn or burn. No, he said, follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and I'll show you the kingdom, and when I show you the kingdom, you'll have something to share with those who haven't seen it. You don't have to fear them up. You don't have to beat them up. You don't have to religious them up. You don't have to try to drag them into the church. Let me tell you what, when they see the kingdom of God, they'll run to the church. When they experience God by the Holy Spirit and what Jesus Christ did upon the cross, let me tell you what, when you finally had your eyes open, where did you run? I couldn't wait to get with fellowship with other believers. And when I read Hebrews 10:25 about not forsaking the gathering itself as some have, especially when the end's coming, let me tell you what, saints, I know the importance of being here. And I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Are you hearing me this morning? They were taught by him. They were taught by the Holy Spirit the things of God. Saints, we need to get back into relationship with the Holy Spirit. Do you know that Jesus and John were filled with the Spirit of God before they were born? I mean, Mary has an experience with an angel that shows up and said, you're going to be pregnant. And she's like, well, I've never been with a man. Oh, but the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. Oh, well, let it be as you've said. We know she had to bear something because she wasn't bearing nothing down here yet. And she was convinced of what the angel had to say, and she received it. Why? Because the angel was speaking kingdom things. And she could bear witness in her spirit that it had to be of God. Because how else could this happen? And that's where I want to live. I want to live in that kingdom of God where it's like, you know, you may not understand it in the carnal, but boy, that's God. Oh, you know, I'm limping, but you know what? I'm not going to stay that way. Well, that's God. Amen. And here Mary's pregnant now. She goes to see Elizabeth, and as she's going to see Elizabeth, she walks in, and Elizabeth hears Mary's voice, and Mary's speaking, and all of a sudden, the womb of Elizabeth, that she's overage to have a child, but having a child by the name of John, father by the name of Zachariah, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes upon Elizabeth, and immediately, now you have to understand something. Mary and Elizabeth hadn't talked. Mary and Elizabeth didn't know what was going on other than Mary knowing what's going on because Elizabeth's got her own thing going on. She's already freaking out. I'm old, having a kid. Wow. And Mary shows up and the Holy Spirit comes upon Elizabeth and Elizabeth says, "Oh, highly favored of the Lord." How did she know that? The Holy Spirit teaches. The Holy Spirit came upon Elizabeth that was in her womb on John, and the babies leaped within them both because of the Spirit leadership. See, there needs to be a leap in your spirit when the Spirit of God begins to really speak. You need to bear witness with everything you do, from getting up in the morning to going to bed at night, to what TV programs you watch, to what areas you drive into, what places you go, what things you decide, what business activities you do. You need to have a leap in your spirit that says, oh, this is of God. Because saints, we're supposed to be walking by the Spirit. Revelation chapter 2 and 3 talks about the seven churches. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying, what the Spirit is teaching. So I got to be honest, you're all terrible teachers. I don't care how good you are in any field you are, but I'll tell you a better teacher, especially when he takes what you have and brings what he has together. Amen. Now that's what you want to hear. Amen? Isn't that what you want to hear? You want to hear what he has to say. Amen. You know, it was so exciting for Mary. I got to read this. This is so good. In Luke chapter 1, and you don't have to put it on the board, John. I'm just going to read it out of the Bible. And I pray you're all taking notes because, saints, I've got some stuff for you the next couple of weeks that I think will really change your life. Listen to Mary in the song after visiting with Elizabeth, and she made this statement. My soul magnifies the Lord. Wow, she had this leap. She had this Holy Ghost unction, and all she wanted to do is her mind, her will, and emotion was so caught up in Him, but that's all that mattered. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their heart. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servants Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He has spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. I mean, Mary is excited about exalting God. I don't know about you, but you want to know why there isn't a lot of zeal in the church? People lost the excitement of the Holy Spirit and His leadership. Because when you have an experience with the Holy Spirit, you'll get excited. I was driving down the road the other day, and I was looking at my odometer, and I just happened to look down, and it said 111115. And I went, that's God's grace. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord said, my grace is upon you. And check this out. I looked up at that split second, and on a high wire was sitting a chicken hawk. Now, you can say that's a coincidence all you want. But chances of looking down and looking up simultaneously and seeing all this at one time is way beyond my ability. Come on, saints. God was showing me that He's with me. He uses the things that He knows touches my heart when I touch His heart, and He shows up just to prove it. Man, I'll tell you what, that'll get you all excited. It'll make you want to shout, dance, jump, do some backflips, somersaults. I told somebody as I was driving, because I'd called him and talked to him a little bit, I said, hold on a minute, I'm going to run around the truck. I'll be right back while it's driving. I was excited. It's like, man, God, You're so cool. If you get a chance, you can write this down. Luke chapter 1, verses 68 through 79. Elizabeth got so excited, she began to prophesy and sing too. I'm telling you, when God shows up, you'll want to sing. You'll want to dance. You'll want to get excited. And saints, you should be living like this every day. Amen. This isn't just a church experience. This isn't just a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and a revival once in a while. You should be in revival every day. Amen. You should be experiencing God every day. You know, when you see the brokenhearted that comes into wherever you work, or maybe you're in a place and you see somebody that's down and out, or you see another Christian that's not on fire, that should be an opportunity for you to release some fire. That's what you were called to do. You were called to release fire where there is none. Amen? You were called to rise up higher to be light of the world to those who are in darkness, including those that call themselves brothers and sisters that are struggling in the Lord. For the Bible says, if one suffers, we all suffer. If one rejoices, we all rejoice. We all play a part in this. Are you seeing this? I mean, this is the gospel. This is the good news. Amen? What happened when Jesus was baptized? Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Oh, there's so much I want to share. If you guys got 2 hours, I'll lay it all on you. What was that? Was that a laugh of Sarah or a laugh of Abraham? I'm serious. I got some good stuff. I got so excited last night that when I went to bed, I couldn't sleep all night. I was up at 3:30 this morning, so I got to get some more of this. I mean, it was that good. Jesus came to Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to baptize by you. Now, see, John's thinking from the natural carnal perspective. John's trying to think from the natural and not what God's doing in the supernatural. Amen? I need to be baptized by you. You are coming to me. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So Jesus knew that he had to do it the same way you have to do it too. Then he allowed him, and when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him. Now that word heavens open means the heavens were literally torn. Doesn't mean it just, oh, hi, there's Jesus and there's the Father. Now, how many know there's a spiritual darkness that's trying to keep us from the realms of heaven on earth? And so when Jesus was baptized in that water, Jesus was making a dedication to God that this is no longer going to be this way. And the Bible says that the heavens were torn open. It's the same word that you find when Jesus died. And the Bible says that the earthquake came, the temple had shaken, and the veil was rent from top to bottom, literally torn open. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that we can now enter into the Holy of Holies through the blood of Jesus Christ. Where is this? This ain't a fleshly realm. This is a spiritual realm. This is a place that God created you and me to be a part of. What Jesus did was brought us back to what Adam had in the beginning, a walk with God. And let me tell you what, it wasn't in the flesh, because when they got in the flesh, they were naked and ashamed. But when they were in the Spirit, there was no being ashamed. They knew exactly where they were. Amen? So Jesus now brings us back. The heavens are rent or open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, or as a dove, and alighting upon him. So now we see this Holy Spirit infiltration coming, and then we see, and suddenly a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased. God's speaking now. His voice is coming from heaven to earth and approving what just happened. Do you know that in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came, there was a mighty rushing wind? there was this mighty sound from heaven. Tongues of fire set upon their head, and they began to speak in the Holy Ghost. The same thing that happened with Jesus is the same thing that happened with you when you got filled with the Spirit. You're no longer walking by the voice of man. You're walking by the leadership of God. By the voice from heaven that now speaks in a still small voice inside your spirit and says, this is the way to go. This is what He's called us into. Amen? To be led by the Spirit, to be taught by the Spirit. Well, what happened to Jesus? He was led by the Spirit. He was taken for 40 days and 40 nights, fasting and praying, and then the devil came at an appointed time to try to tempt Him, to get Him to deal with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. How many know those are the three areas of flesh we all have to deal with? Amen? And He just spells them right out. You don't have to go and figure out all these other things. Deal with these three things and you'll be fine. But how did He deal with them? He submitted to God. And listen to what He said. In chapter 4:4, 4:7, and 4:10, He said, it is written. What is He saying? He said, it's God taught. Well, how do we get taught? By the Holy Spirit. So if we're being taught by the Holy Spirit and we're speaking fresh manna, not old manna, that's being spoken, because He said man will not live by bread alone but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. A word from the mouth of God is not a natural word, it's a supernatural word. Jesus had a supernatural word upon His baptism. We have a supernatural word when we got baptized by the Holy Spirit. We're not supposed to be talking this garbage on earth. As Pastor Linda said so eloquently this morning, we got to quit talking about the problem and start talking about the solution. We got to start speaking to those things as though they're not as they are. We got to start living out of the realms of God instead of the realms of man. Are you seeing this today? We're going deep. And we're just getting started. Amen? Our goal needs to be serious about God teaching us. I am not your teacher, but I can get inspired by the teacher to bring a word that will help you. Don't ever follow a man. Don't ever follow a title over a door. Don't ever follow religion. Follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's why I tell people, when you come to this church, why'd you come? I was led by the Spirit. If God would ever change you, I want to know, were you led by the Spirit to come? And if so, were you led by the Spirit to move? And if you're led by the Spirit of the move, I guarantee you my spirit will bear witness with your spirit that it's of God. And I'm all for whatever God wants. But I am not for people who break up churches, divide churches, just walk out of churches and don't care about the family of God. Why? Because God brought us together to be a family. And we're to do this together. Amen? Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5, 16 and 17 tells us to walk by the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Revelation, of course, we already talked about this. 2 and 3 talks about, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit's saying. I'll start with one of these. How many got one of these last week or 2 weeks ago of all the scriptures that I talked about in the Old Testament? Did anybody study that? Well, if you haven't studied that, you have homework assignment this week, because we're gonna take a little adventure on Old Testament type and shadow to New Testament spirit experience. Oh, I was so blessed when I started getting into this. Sister Jeanette, would you hand one out if people don't have it? Because I really want them to actually just participate here for just a few minutes. We're going to talk about Joseph for a few minutes. When he had been put into slavery, you know, he had been put in a pit. He got put into Potiphar's house. He was put into prison. The baker and the cupbearer, you know, now have had an experience with a dream, and Joseph interprets the dream. And then, you know, later Pharaoh has a dream, and the baker realizes, hey, you know, I forgot somebody that told me my dreams, but I think he can probably tell you the Pharaoh's dream. And so they go and they run and get Joseph, and they brought him back to the Pharaoh's house, and Pharaoh begins to unfold the dream to Joseph so that Joseph can now interpret. And Pharaoh begins to ask Joseph, can you interpret? And chapter 41 of Genesis, verse number 8, he says, no one can interpret them for Pharaoh. So what is he saying? He said, no man can do this. You can take it to all the sorcerers. You can take it to all the people that you know that think that they know, and they still don't know. So no matter how you look at this, they're not going to be able to do it. But in verse number 16 of the 41st chapter, you got that, John? Genesis chapter 41, verse number 16. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me, but God will give the answer of peace. You know what I find with Joseph that's so amazing, like most of us? I think a lot of times the reason why he was in the pit, he was in the palace, he was in the prison, and now he's in Pharaoh's house, is because Joseph had a tendency of putting a lot of emphasis on himself. You know, when he went to dad and his brothers, oh, you're all going to bow down before me one day. A lot of emphasis on, man, you ought to see what I'm going to be something big over you. You know, there's a little bit of pride there. I mean, ticked off his brothers. He got the coat of many colors. They ended up throwing him in the pit, told his daddy that, you know, the lions ate him, gave him the bloody coat of many colors. Dad freaked out for all these years, and now Joseph is gone. And Joseph had to go through a process to get to the proper place he could begin to serve the Lord. Do you know that we're all going through a process to serve the Lord? It's sometimes not easy. And as much as we want to confess things won't happen, things do happen. But the key is what are you going to do in the midst of it? Are you going to search after what he is saying? Or are you going to live in the realms of the natural and try to figure it out? Well, Joseph finally got to a place to where he began to understand God. And he said, it is not me that interprets, but God will give Pharaoh the answer of peace. So Joseph realized his confidence wasn't in his leadership. His confidence was in God. He realized that the breath that he carried was the breath of God that teaches him on what to do. And he knew he couldn't do it separate from it. Saints, we've got to get this in our hearts. We cannot do this separate from the leadership of God. Amen. Is this helping anybody today? Amen. Verse number 25. And Joseph said to Pharaoh, after Pharaoh told him the dream, said to Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Who told Pharaoh? How did he know? God showed him. Why aren't we living in the realms where God's showing us? Because we keep trying to naturalize it, carnalize it. Come on, instead of get where God wants you to hear. We're not taking time to listen. We're not taking time to sit in his presence. We're not taking time to say, okay, God, this is what I've got. I'm going to lay it before you, and I'm just going to sit here until you speak. You say, well, maybe you only got 15 minutes. Well, that's a good start. Maybe you have to go back the next day and give him another 15 minutes. Or maybe you start getting so excited about being in his presence, you stay there a little bit longer. Maybe he might say something. Are you seeing this? We've got to give God the time that it takes to speak to us. And Joseph understood that he couldn't interpret it, but he knew the God that could. Look at verse 38. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Pharaoh was so convinced that what he had to say bore witness with his spirit, that that's what the dream meant, to a point that they said, who are we going to get to oversee all of this that's getting ready to happen over these next 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine? Well, who else would you want? Somebody that hears from God. Somebody that's willing to listen and then follow it out. So who is like Joseph? Who else can we go and get? He's the one that seems to have the answer. Amen? I wonder today as if we can find such men and women that can really hear what God is saying. Each and every one of us should be in a place where we hear. How many here are born again? How many here are spirit-filled? How many here have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying? Amen. Then we need to probably slow down a little and listen. We're too busy. We're doing too much other stuff than listening to what God has to say. Amen? Amen? Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Or should I say it this way? A man who is being taught by God. Saints, we've got to get to a place where God speaks. Amen? Remember when Jesus started? He heard the Father's voice. He heard the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He didn't run from it. He walked it out. 40 days and 40 nights fasting and praying. I mean, no. You better know you heard from God if you're going to do that. You know, it's not like Moses going up on the mountain kind of being arrested by God and you're kind of stuck there for 40 days, 40 nights. But Jesus coming up out of the water refreshed and filled with the Spirit, excited about his daddy, and says, oh, okay, I guess I'll go suffer for a while. He realized what it took to get him to where he needed to be. You know what's interesting about Joseph at this particular time? Joseph at this particular time, Old Testament, is 30 years old. When did Jesus start his ministry? 30 years old. He died at 33 and a half. Joseph is a type and shadow of Jesus. The same thing that happened to Joseph was the same thing that happened to Jesus. Do you think that the same thing that happened to Joseph and the same thing that happened to Jesus should probably also happen to you? I would think so. What did he tell his disciples? The same thing that happened to Joseph. The same thing that happened to me. Don't go do anything until you have the power from upon high in Jerusalem. Then go. Mark 16, lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead. And then he says, I'll go before you, confirming it with signs and wonders. Where's the signs and wonders? I don't think we've sat in his presence to know. We're just hoping that everything's going to work out right. No, if God's leading, it'll be fantastic. Amen? Amen. It's God taught. Say, God taught. I'm going to have to land this plane, but I'll deal with some others. Write down on Joseph, Genesis 41:38. Where can we find a man whom is the Spirit of God? That's what verse 38 says. Where can we find a man with the Spirit of God? I want to ask you that. Where can we find men and women carrying the Spirit of God? I hope this year will be a year that you become that. That's my goal. I don't care what the world does, but I care what God does. Amen. I'm more interested in what He has to say than what the world has to say. Amen. I'm going to do one more real quick. And I'm going to actually go down to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. We'll get back to those other ones next week, John. And this is about David. I mean, you know, David was a man after God's own heart. Amen? Amen. And we know that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Let me tell you the story here. Saul had been anointed king. Saul didn't follow the Spirit of God. At first he did. But Saul decided to follow himself. He didn't follow what Samuel told him by the Spirit. Saul actually got his garment ripped and torn from his kingship because he chose to walk by the world. I mean, we'll get torn from the kingdom of God if we continue to walk by the world. And so Samuel now is told by God, go and find David. When you find David, anoint him with oil and make him king. The Bible says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. The one who teaches him how to do everything was on him from that day forward. Are you seeing that? So when you go down there to 1 Samuel 16:13 on your notes, put Spirit upon from that day forward. You know what's interesting? When you study that out in the Hebrew, it means Ruach HaGadash, which means Holy Spirit came upon him. In the New Testament, it's the word Paraclete, or we can actually take it back to the original Pneuma from Genesis chapter 1. So Paraclete means God breathe, or God teaching us how to breathe. It means He sent us a helper to help us breathe, a comforter to comfort us in our breath, and He called Him alongside to be an aid to us to help us breathe, to teach us to breathe. Are you getting this today? Now the word Ruach HaGadash, the definition means the Spirit of Yahweh. Y-H-W-H. a forbidden word to be spoken in Old Testament because nobody ever pronounced the name of God because God was known as Yahweh or the I Am that I Am. But when we see what he did with David, he called himself Yahweh, the Spirit of Yahweh, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, the teacher, the breath of God. And I really want you to see this today, is because it means to have a divine force. It means to have divine qualities. And it means to have an influence of the Most High God. That's what this word means. Now, when you break down the word Yahweh, it's the word Yah, He, Vav, He. Now, what's interesting about this, that's just really amazing, is the Yod means the hand that accomplishes a mighty deed. So we're talking about, you know, the Holy Spirit coming upon David, which was literally Yahweh clothing David with his ability from that day forward. God is clothing you with his ability when the Spirit of God came upon you. So the Yod means the hand that accomplishes a mighty deed. The He is the man lifting up his hands to heaven. The Vav is the iron nail. And then the He, again, is the man lifting up the hands to heaven. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, it basically, from a pictorial from a Hebrew, says, behold the hand, behold the nail. Meaning everything at the cross now has an opportunity to clothe you with everything God is. Are you seeing this? It starts at the cross. God's name represents the cross. But when you talk about the Spirit of God from Hebrew coming upon David, it's the Ruach HaGadosh, which means the Spirit of Yahweh. The Spirit of the hand and the nail that poured out for you so that you could receive of the fullness of God. Today, you need to receive from the fullness of God and begin to let the breath that is in you become your teacher. And quit allowing the mind, the will, the emotions, the feelings, your circumstances to dictate your life. Because I'm telling you, God's raising you up higher, just as we started this service, to begin to decree and declare the promises of God in a dark world so that God can be seen in a greater glory. This is what we're called to. This is what we're supposed to be living out of. You know, when we get done here, you know, we talk about going and eating. You know, what our prayer should be is, God, where do you want us to go? Is there somebody you want us to connect with? Is there something you want to say to someone? Is there some place we need to be? Are you seeing this? When you get up in the morning, are you spending time with God? Or are you just all about your stuff and not God's stuff? Because if you're about God's stuff, you're about to get blessed. Because everything else becomes yours. So what's my point today? My point is, number one, you need to behold the cross and the nail of the man who died on it. If you online haven't received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I would say you need to do it today because there's no guarantee for tomorrow. But let me tell you what, I know the Spirit of God is ministering to you. And I know that He wants you to turn your life over to Him because He's about to change it and rearrange it. And I promise you, you will never be the same again. Just open up your mouth and open up your heart and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need you to be Lord of my life. And I promise you, He's standing at the door knocking, waiting for you to open. And He will come in. And when He does, ask Him to take you beyond the cross and fill you with His Spirit. A fresh new breath of God. Why don't you just receive that today? Say, I'm going to receive a fresh new breath from God today. And just take it in. Just breathe it in. Because saints, from this day forward, you are never going to be the same, because I'm telling you, God has taken us somewhere this year that goes way beyond any capability I have. And let me tell you what, I sat in the presence of God so long in the last 2 days that I couldn't help but want to go back. Want to live out of that presence. But how many know your flesh can only take so much? But I promise you, I'll be back again today. I'll be seeking some more today, because I'm telling you, in each and every one of these stories, and I suggest you read them before you come next week, we're going to talk about how each and every one of them had the Spirit of God come up on them and what happened as a result. And I'm going to show you to New Testament on how he also works today and how he'll begin to work deeper in your life as you get more of a revelation of it. Amen? I mean, no, he's a person. He wants to have a relationship with you. He's not an it. And we'll talk about that another time, but he is a Holy Spirit. He's the person. He's the triune God. He's the third portion of a true God, a true being. He has feelings. He has emotions. He has a will. He can be grieved. He can be hurt. And we need to be sensitive to him. Amen? Amen? So study. Show yourself approved over these next several weeks because we're going to go deep. There's some stuff that God has spoken to me. I didn't even get the title of the message till about, I don't know, 2 hours before I came to church today. Because I was just so entrenched with what he was teaching me. It's like, wow, I need this. How many needed this today? I want more. Online, say, I want more. Prepare my heart and prepare my ears and prepare my spirit that I might walk spirit to spirit with God, that I might be able to cast down the carnal man, the fleshly man, and that I may begin to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. I ask today, God, that you start in me, that you start in me, you start in me, and that, Father, you begin to do the work that's needed because, God, I don't know how to deliver myself. I don't know how to free myself. I don't even know how to take the next step without your leadership. And I'm asking, God, today that you start with me by the power of the Holy Spirit. Quicken my spirit to your spirit that I am following your leadership everywhere I go. And Father, if you have something you want me to say, help me to keep my mouth shut until it's time to speak. Because God, I'm tired of seeing Christians open mouth and insert foot. God, let us open mouth and breathe out a teachable life that helps them to see you. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. Amen. We love you and we'll look forward to seeing you Wednesday night. I got a message Wednesday night that was birthed out of the Spirit, so I hope you can come and join us. Amen. We love you. And all of you that couldn't make it today, we just love you. Amen. Midge and all of you, we just love you very much. We pray God's riches on you too. God bless.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in here today at the Glorious Church Training Center with Pastor David Paysinger. And we are located at 1721 West 7th Street, Suite B, Joplin, Missouri, 64801. And also the phone number is 417-622-9374, which is the office and the email to get a hold of Pastor David Paysinger is teachtrainsend@gmail.com.